On the show today, we have CUNA's very own Lance Noggle talking about a couple of sessions that he is involved in. The first one is the road to real-time payments, how fast is fast enough, and the other one is regulating fintechs in today's banking marketplace. Both going to be very popular sessions indeed, so check out our conversation. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have CUNA's very own Lance Noggle. Lance, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It looks like a beautiful sunny day there in Virginia.
Yeah, it's first time we've seen sun in a while. I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, getting a
little. I had to make some time for you to get out of the sun.
So. Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Well, I won't keep you from the sun too long. And is it vitamin D or vitamin E? Is that the sun? I get those mixed up. So
it's been so long since I've seen the sun, I can't remember.
I'll have to go back on WebMD or something like that and find out. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Let's talk about fintech and the GAC and all that good stuff. So you are going to be talking about, you're involved in a couple of sessions at the GAC. One of them is the road to real-time payments. How fast is fast enough? And the other one I have over here, and it's regulating fintechs in today's banking marketplace. So let's talk about the road to real-time payments real quick first, because you're actually organized this one. So give us a quick overview and what folks can expect.
Yes, it should be a good breakout session to kind of let people know where we are right now with real-time payments. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty quick developing area with the Fed and with the clearinghouse, really working to bring real-time payments to consumers through financial institutions or through other methods. So we'll have Steve Ledford from the clearinghouse. We'll have Dan Gonzalez from the Fed and Brad Daney from Catalyst Corporate Credit Union, who's developing some solutions that credit unions can use.
Wow.
So it should be pretty interesting. They should be able to talk about where we are right now and recent developments.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you like a couple of takeaways. I don't want to steal all the thunder, but can you give us a nugget or two that what folks can take away?
Well, I think, just talking to the clearinghouse, because they have their real-time payments network up and operating, is just some of the use cases that people are developing, things that people hadn't thought about. And one area which I thought was interesting, and it's probably somewhat related to COVID and just some of the gig economy, is that some of these gig employers are using real-time payments to pay their employees instantly.
Yeah.
So if you're working for DoorDash or Uber or whatever, at the end of your shift, they can push that payment right to you and you get credit right away. So that's pretty exciting, especially for something like that. But I mean, it's a great use case. And what they seem to think is that, people will think of clever new ways to use the payments systems as they come online in ways that, people hadn't considered before. I think people always thought like bill payer or, receiving your payroll or whatever, but that's done. That's, the instantaneous payment there isn't probably as important as it is getting money to someone quickly.
Yeah, no doubt. No, that kind of takes me to like Chime. What they do is like they pay you in advance before you get paid type of thing. So, which I've heard credit unions have been doing for years and years already. So it's already there.
Yeah, they try to sort. I think it's a little bit different, but they've kind of know what you're going to get paid, and then almost like a short term loan.
Right.
So.
So here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say with real-time payments, the money is actually in your account. There's no loan, whatever, they hit the button and boom. It's like those magical payments you see on some TV where they're holding hostage, where they're like, I can transfer the money instantly. Well, with real-time payments, it will be instant.
Where they have to have some sort of multi-security passcode thing and they bring out the silver briefcase and just type your passcode in. Yeah.
It's like some bad episode of 24 from 2005,
Oh my gosh, we could go on and on. This could turn into like an Entertainment Tonight type episode here, Lance. If we're not,
we can talk 24 all day long.
Exactly. Hey, what does this mean? Well, what is that? What is the real time payments? What does that mean for a credit union, though? Can we trickle down to them?
Well, I think as some of the vendors that they use build out platforms for them to use. I think credit unions will be able to offer some innovative products, yeah, and be able to do some of these transfers and move money around in ways that people are expecting. So I think now, I think that, and some of it will be, it might not be so customer or member focused, mm-hmm, just because, like I said, bill payer, or other things, say Zelle or something like that, where it looks like you've made an instant transfer, but on the back end, it takes a couple of days, goes through the ACH network.
Yeah.
Some of these things may just smoothen out the operations of credit unions first before more member centric platform or products are put out there.
Gotcha.
Just for example, so Zelle, a lot of credit unions are using Zelle to move money back and forth between financial institutions, credit unions, banks. But Zelle had been operating over the ACH network where, the transfer, a member might get instant credit,
mm-hmm,
but the transfer actually takes place a few days later. Now, I think now Zelle is running off of, it's either now or soon running across the real-time payments network where the payment is made instantly. So the member won't see much difference,
mm-hmm,
but it's better for the credit union where the money is moved right away and the transaction is finished.
Well, and it's a cool to have thing as well. So it sounds really good, especially for the younger generations coming up who really expect that type of stuff.
Yep.
I think we all do now, actually. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we think it does. And sometimes it just doesn't move that way.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Hey, let's talk about the other session here. What was it called? It's regulating fintechs in today's banking workplace. Can you give us a quick overview on that one?
Yes, this is an interesting session. And we talk about fintechs in three different ways. First of all, we talk about the threat of fintech.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some different aspects of that, whether it's being able to offer a service or a platform that a credit union cannot do. Or it's the threat of the fintech, how they've been able to look to the federal banking charters and state charters to become a chartered financial institution. However, some of them are kind of skirting some of the some rules and regulations by doing this. So it's interesting. You usually think by being a chartered bank, for example, that you would have to comply with all the regulations that a bank would. But some of the fintechs are trying to do things like not offer insured deposits, whereby skipping regulations from the FDIC, or ownership by not offering insured deposits,
mm-hmm,
skipping some ownership requirements through the Federal Bank Holding Company Act. We're also seeing crypto banks pop up.
Yeah.
A lot of these are using the state trust laws, and some of them have gotten federal charters recently. So this sort of interesting threat of being able to be a federally chartered bank or a national bank, yet not having to comply with all the regulations that a bank would have to. And credit unions, by extension, usually have to comply with similar regulations as a,
mm-hmm,
bank.
Mm-hmm.
So the end result is that some of these fintechs can offer products that might not have the same consumer protections as if they were offered from a credit union or a bank,
mm-hmm,
or might have to follow some other regulations, thereby making them cheaper to offer, quicker to offer, mm-hmm, and also, competing on a not equal footing or unequal footing. That's a better way to say it.
From the consumer perspective or even the member perspective, wouldn't that be a little scary if your deposits aren't insured? I mean, are they just kind of bypassing that marketing message right there? Or that's a little sketchy.
Yeah, so there's one that I'm thinking about in particular who's applied for a charter, and they're going to accept deposits that are not insured, but they're going to take them from what they call accredited investors.
Okay.
An accredited investor has no meaning in the banking world, has a meaning in the securities world. It's usually, an investor with, $1 million or more in assets, investable assets, or I don't know the exact definition, but it's something along those lines, right? So they claim that they're going to accept deposits from accredited investors, and we have no idea what that means. And a lot of one of the problems with some of these applications is we don't see a lot of information. So I think that, and we're not in the business of trying to defend the bank charter, but obviously banks and credit unions are depository institutions and both offer federal insurance, mm-hmm, and operate in similar manners and protections for consumers. So we don't want to see, a depository institution charter devalued or confused by institutions that aren't, offering the same levels of protections or operating in some manner that just confuses consumers. So, I mean, and a lot of times consumers might not know that they're dealing with something that has financial and finance or whatever in their title.
Yeah.
But they don't know that they're not a bank or they're not getting the same amount of protections that they get.
I would think the CFPB would be all over that, or somebody.
I think that they would probably take a look at that. Come and take a look at that because they have more of a hand in regulating or consumer protection, especially as it's at, you know, non-banks.
Yeah.
But, you know, by becoming a national bank, you can, you know, some of that, you know, it's really comes down to it's clever people trying to weave, mm-hmm. you know, narrow path through the regulations where they can do something that someone else can't.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what, you know, fintech does. A lot of times.
Okay. Well, I'm automatically attending that session for sure. Cause I want to hear this discussion. So
sure.
Count me in, save me a seat. All right.
And so we have a couple other things that we discussed there as well. We discussed how credit unions can work with fintech because, you know, there's a different, you know, fintech, some of them want to compete with you. Some of them want to work with you and some of them, you know, want to run you out of business. And so that's kind of the, want to run you out of business, but, angle of it, but we're looking at also fintechs that want to provide services to credit unions and credit union members and help them offer, you know, things that consumers are looking for. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues we have too is credit unions have a difficult time investing in fintechs or startups. And we're looking at ways in that credit unions could invest more and possibly even invest with other, you know, banks or other institutions as well. Or other companies. So that's something that we discuss on the breakout session.
Oh my.
Third, we discuss really how credit unions can look and find some of these tech partners too.
So yeah, that's going to be a cool one. Yeah, that's going to be standing room only in a virtual world for that session, I would think.
Yeah, how does that standing room only work in the virtual world? I haven't seen that yet.
We'll find out. But just a matter of saying, that's going to be a very popular session, I would think, because you know, everyone's interested in the fintech aspect of it, whether it's partnering or the big takeover, or, you know, kind of weaving their way and nipping at our heels. So I think that's a pretty topical one.
And the other thing I would encourage people, I know that these are recorded, and attendees will have access to the recorded versions of them. Okay. And we could always answer questions as well, you know, via email. Mm-hmm. But if you attend live, you know, we'll have a live chat going on.
Oh, good.
The breakout session, answering questions, which we can't always remember everything that we should cover, or it might not be clear. It sounds good, you know, it sounds good to you at the time. Like, that was a genius statement I made, but it's not clear to anyone else. So
right. Yeah,
having the ability to answer or ask questions during the breakout sessions will be good. And so I definitely encourage people, if they're interested, to do that.
Okay.
I mean, and the one good thing about the way we're doing the breakout sessions this year is that since you will have access to recorded versions, you know, you won't be like, I can only attend two. Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to go to the economic update, mm-hmm. and, you know, one on litigation, and now I can't see, you know, go to any of the other ones.
Right.
Now this year, you know, you'll be able to download or watch the, you know, all of them if you want to.
Yeah. Just,
you know, wait till the weekend and have a big marathon breakout session watch. Just like the old days of 24.
Exactly. You're going to binge watching the GAC session. So
I don't recommend that.
Doing Netflix. So why not the sessions as well? So yeah.
I don't recommend watching them all at once. You want to, with COVID, you know, with the lack of things to do, these are going to be good. You want to string these out over a few.
Exactly.
Weeks.
You want to be able to digest them and take notes and stuff like that. I get, because I'm going through the schedule over here on my other monitor, and it's like, okay, which one do I attend? And it's like, oh man, there's so much to choose from. So you guys have quite the content providing. So it's really, really good stuff for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And that was only, you know, not to say something bad about the GAC in the past, but that's what I always thought was always kind of, you know, the tough one with the breakout
sessions.
Yeah,
it's hard to pick and choose.
You can only go to two. Yeah,
exactly. Like, there's only one of these.
So. Yeah. So this is kind of a cool thing to do where you can, you know, it's one advantage of not being live.
Exactly. I get it.
Being in there in person is you can go
indeed,
to multiple.
Indeed, sir. Yeah. Anything else on this topic or the other session that you want to add here before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. I just encourage everyone to go. And again, you know, and if you have any sort of questions, what we're doing here at CUNA, advocacy or anything else, you can reach out to us afterwards as well. And we love to talk to you.
Good deal. Yeah. And that's the thing about a lot of the virtual conferences I've seen as the year has progresses and coming into this year, people have gotten obviously more comfortable with the format, but people are more active in the chat sessions now than especially the last few that I've attended. Man, the chat sessions have been just been going crazy. So expect
that. It can definitely be more of a free flow of information. So yeah. I think sometimes people can be hesitant to ask questions, mm-hmm. and I get that. You know, you don't want to stand up in a room of full a few hundred people and ask a question, and it's just easier to do a chat. So yeah, and hopefully we get some good questions, and
I think you will
make us think.
I can't wait for this one. All right, Lance, I'm going to let you get back to work because I know you're a busy, busy guy and you got a big week next week. So appreciate the time as always, and look forward to the next conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for making the time. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see you hopefully next year.
Yes.
Make you come out here again.
Hey, twist my arm. I always enjoy coming out. So not a problem. All right, Lance, thanks again for the time. Appreciate the work that you guys do, and be well, be safe, okay?
All right, you too. See you soon, Mike.
All right, thanks.